Oh, okay. Innocent or?
Yeah, that should be fine. Yes, I'm looking forward to spending time with the kids this morning, too. Well, it's great to be back with you all. It's been 4 years since I was here, and I've actually been in France for 10 years now. A long time. I'm so thankful for your church's partnership there in France, and I have greetings from my church. They want me to greet you, and they are also thankful for your ministry there in France through me. I'm so glad to represent you there. I love serving the Lord there, and it's really special to have one of my girls with me today. Miriam's just with me for 3 weeks. I'm in the States for 4 months, so this is a special time to have her with me. I was just explaining to her the different announcements he was making. I was showing her the bulletin. She does speak English, but there's a lot of new terms, and she pointed to the one that said baby shower. She said, there's a shower for a baby? You're going to give a baby, like, put it in the shower? No. I said, I'll explain later. We don't have baby showers in France, so I had to explain that to her. So I would like to show you a quick presentation of what the ministry has been like in France. You probably know that Paris is considered the city of lights. You might have heard that before. And it is a beautiful city. It is beautiful both during the day and at night. In fact, every hour on the hour after sunset, they make the Eiffel Tower sparkle. It looks really beautiful. But in reality, the inhabitants dwell in a land of deep spiritual darkness. Most of the French people don't believe in God. Most of them don't even care if there's a God or not. It's not a religious country. Now, you may have heard of some of the reactions both in France and around the world after some of the terrorist attacks that we've had the last few years. Do you remember how in 2015 there were several attacks at once in a stadium, in restaurants, in a rock concert? Do you remember hearing about that? And do you remember how there was a very popular hashtag on Twitter all around the world? People were calling everyone in the world to do something for Paris. Do you remember what that was? Anybody remember? It was pray for Paris. It was this really popular call on Twitter, pray for Paris. And it is true that, let's see, can I have, oh, do I have to turn it on first? On and off. It says it right there on the side.
It says right there. Okay, you got it.
Perfect. Thank you. So it was a dark time in France, and there is some actual danger because of attacks in France. There is, just like there is here in America. But what was sad to me was that after there was that worldwide call to pray for Paris, this is how some of the French people responded. This was a cartoon in one of their newspapers. Friends from the whole world, thank you for pray for Paris, but we don't need more religion. Our faith goes to music, kisses, life, champagne, and joy. Paris is about life. That's how some of them responded. Basically, you don't need to pray for us. Like, that's nice, but we don't need religion. We're all about life, which I think is so ironic because Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. They can't say no to him and have life. It's not possible, but they're trying to do that. That is the general situation in France. Most people would agree with this. We don't need religion. But not all of them. In fact, where I live is not in the city of Paris. I live in the northern suburbs of Paris. And I live in a very multicultural area. There's people in my town from many, many countries. They're either immigrants or they're children of immigrants. And they come from other countries where people are very religious. Here's a little glimpse of the landscape in my area. This is a church just down the road from me. Now, does that look like a Catholic church to you? Not really, does it? But it is a Catholic church. It's from the Middle East. It's an Oriental Catholic church. And it's called an Assyro-Chaldean church because those people are from Turkey, Iraq, Syria, that part of the world. And they're very religious. They're Catholic. But their whole mass is done in Aramaic, not in French, not in Latin, in Aramaic. And that, of course, is the language that Jesus spoke. They're from that same part of the world where he lived. They're very proud of the fact that they speak Jesus' language. They still speak it at home. They speak it at church. I've gotten to meet some of them, but they don't know the gospel. They're trusting in their works. They're trusting in their religion to save them and not in the gospel. We also have lots of mosques in my neighborhood. We have lots of synagogues. A fourth of the people in the city of Sarcelles are Jews. A fourth of them. It's the largest Jewish population in France, right there. Oh, wait, just a mile from me. So they're not like the general French population that says we don't need religion. They're very religious. They're worshiping, but they're not worshiping the one true God and his son, Jesus, who died for them. A lot of them have never heard that before. And that is why I'm there. So I'm a part of a church plant, and it's so exciting to be a part of this brand new baby church, because I feel like God is fashioning a new golden lampstand to pierce the darkness of this area. Remember in Revelation where the churches are called lampstands? I feel like this church plant is like a lampstand. These are my coworkers, Tim and Ruth Bixby, a wonderful family that are heading up this new church plant that I'm a part of. And we've been meeting in an Indian restaurant, as I mentioned this morning, for 3 years. We've been going to this conference room and renting it for 2 hours, and we are so looking forward to having our own building, which will be clean when we get there, and where we can welcome people from the neighborhood. We're thankful for this place, but they really want us to get out of there, and we do too. We're looking forward to that. And the Lord, oh, this is what it looks like in the children's church area when we show up. Not every week, but it's often like that, so we have to ask them to move their motorcycles, and we help them clean out all those dirty dishes from the night before so we can have children's church. So this is why we're really looking forward to having our own building. And this is the potential building we found almost a year ago, and the Lord has removed obstacle after obstacle, but we're still waiting to move into it. There was a fire there back in January. There was a fire, and there has not yet been repairs done after that fire. So please pray for us that in God's time, we would be able to move into this building, which is just a mile from my house, and all my neighbors know where it is, and they've even asked me, how are things going? Is that insurance company, have they allowed you to get, have the repairs been done yet? And when I say no, they say, oh, we are with you 100% against those insurance companies. So my neighbors are familiar with the situation, and I'm hoping that they'll come, especially when we have our first service. I'm hoping my neighbors will come. So please pray for that. Whoops. So this is what it looks like there in the building right now after the fire. But we're very thankful that it did not burn down. We're thankful that we don't have to pay for the repairs either. Hopefully the insurance company will eventually. That's what we're waiting for. Now, I seek to be a light in my neighborhood of the gospel, a testimony of Jesus, partly through teaching English to boys and girls and adults in my neighborhood who come and learn Bible stories with me in English. And then also, I've gotten to know neighbors like this girl that you see on the top left. Her name is Mervi. She's from Kosovo. Muslim girl. I've had many, many conversations with her about the gospel. We go walking together, and she's been to my church a few times, but right now she's not really interested in the gospel. I get to do Bible clubs like I have there in the lower left in several neighborhoods. And then a few months ago, we started a new outreach to women that we see often on this highway near our church plant, and they're there all day, every day, for hours and hours. We call it our Crimson Cord outreach, because these women are like Rahab, who were prostitutes. And they're often there. They come from all over the world. Many of them don't speak French. And so that really saddened me to see them day after day on the street. And I felt like by just driving past them over and over, I felt like the Levite you know, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, they see somebody in need and then just keep right on going past. So we've prayed about this and talked about it for a long time, and we were finally able, just in April, to start a regular outreach. Those ladies you see there are women in my church who said, I would love to help with that outreach. And so we go every 10 days, and we talk to these women, we get to know them, we give them little practical things like Kleenex and food, and we ask them what language they speak, and then we try to give them a tract or a Bible in their language. And we've been able to share the gospel with a few women. This girl in the bottom there is from Nigeria. She was trafficked into Italy. She was promised a job in Italy, and when she got there, she found out what she was going to do, and she refused, and she ran away and ended up, the Lord brought her to France. She's been involved in a good church in southern France, a church that Miriam knows really well in Toulouse. And this church has a ministry to women like that. So they called us in June and they said, this girl's coming up to Paris for her papers. She has an interview with the refugee service. Would you be able to help her and give her a place to stay and take her there? And so the women in that group, they said, we'd be glad to help. So that's the sort of thing we've been able to do. And it's been a privilege for us. It's been a blessing for us, seeking to be a light. And then these, like I mentioned earlier, these are some of the young women that the Lord has allowed me to meet and love and seek to encourage in the gospel. Some of them are from Africa. Oop, you don't see everybody there. The PowerPoint didn't go through completely. But they're from Africa and India and France and many countries. And these women are very dear to me. And Miriam is with me. She's one of them. Those of you who were there in Sunday school got to hear her testimony. And tonight she'll be sharing more about opportunities that God has given her to share the gospel with people in France who are searching, who wish that they knew somebody who had answers for them about their soul, about eternity, about God, and who God has brought across her path, even just in the last few weeks. So I hope that you'll be able to come hear her stories. So these are some of the women that the Lord has allowed me to encourage and to disciple in the gospel. Miriam mentioned also this morning that her church in southern France has been raising funds to renovate a building that they purchased. And this is what the worship area looks like now. That's what their sanctuary looks like now. It was an empty shell when they bought it. So God has blessed, and through the cookbooks that they've sold, they've been able to pay for the repairs in most of the building. They're still the top floor they need to finish for the kids' classrooms. And so those cookbooks are back there if you're interested. Any gift is appreciated. They cost about $10 to produce. We also have been serving the Lord with this little nonprofit ministry called Ecclé Musica, and we seek to help local churches with their mission of worship and evangelism. We organize camps and conferences and seminars in churches around the country and try to help gather these Christian musicians and encourage them and train them, give them resources. We have a brand new music library on our website so that as our French musicians are writing new music in French, new hymns for their churches, now there's a platform that they can access that freely. I'm excited about that. I've wanted to do that for years. It's finally on our website. And we do have a brand new website. My prayer letter, or my prayer card back there has the name of our website. If you're interested in hearing more about what we do, I translated the whole thing into English for you. I thought maybe the French site wouldn't help you much. So if you go to the website and you click on the American flag, you can read everything in English. We also have had the opportunity to serve by studying ethnomusicology. That's something I wanted to do for years, and that's the study of music and culture. And because I love music and I love missions, this was so fascinating for me to learn about. And my reasons for studying this, I'm working on a master's very slowly. My reason is, first of all, to help equip my church, because my church is very multi-ethnic. We have a huge group of Indians from India. We have Africans from all over Africa. People from Northern Africa, from Algeria and Morocco. It's a really amazing church. And so I want to help them be able to share some of their songs and their hymns from all over the world. We love the variety and the richness that they have in worshiping God from many nations. But also, I've been able to help some churches in non-Western countries with their church music. Those people you see here on the bottom are from one of the former Soviet Union countries, one of those Stan countries in Central Asia, where they have no religious freedom whatsoever. And that man you see there is a pastor of a church that has to meet in the middle of the night. And they meet, they have to sing very quietly. And they are constantly harassed by the police. They come and they confiscate all their Bibles, or they come and they threaten that their children will be killed if they keep sharing the gospel. This is one of the pastors and his wife there next to him in the red, and then another pastor's wife there. I've had the opportunity to give them some music training. I've been able to go not to their country. It's too dangerous for them if I go, but to a different country. They're brought there twice a year for training, and I've been able to go and work with them. And tonight I'll share with you some more stories, some video clips about my ministry to them. That's been really exciting. You know that not only does Jesus say that he is the light of the world, but it says in God's word that one day in heaven, people will come from every nation and kindred and tongue, and they will gather around the throne of the Lamb, and that in that city where we will worship him, there will be no need of the sun or the moon, but the Lamb will be the light for all of us. And in my church in France, I get to taste a little bit of what that will be like, because we worship the Lord together from many nations. We proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is such a joy to worship him there with those believers. I miss them. I look forward to being back with them. But we all, just like you, are looking forward to that city that is to come, that I'm sure, although Paris is beautiful, the city whose builder and maker is God will be infinitely more beautiful. That is the true city of light that all of those of us who know the Lord Jesus, we will get to see someday. We will get to be there. And we appreciate so much your partnership in the gospel so that we can share this good news of the light of the world with many people who dwell in darkness day after day. Thank you so much for your partnership there in France in the gospel. Now, the next thing I want to show you is a little video.
Can we show the video tonight?
Oh, we sure can. Yep. We definitely can. We can show that. Yeah, it's a little highlights video that talks about one of the music camps that we organized this past year in France with the composer. In fact, he wrote the arrangement that I played earlier. He came and did some workshops on composition, and we were able to gather a lot of believers in Europe for that. So we'll show you that tonight. And then Miriam and I would like to share a song with you. And this is a very, very well-known French hymn that we sing all over France. They sing this in Quebec. They probably sing this in Africa. And it's from Isaiah. We have the text for you in English, or at least the translation in English, so that you can understand what we're singing. From the beginning. And I will